At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion. It's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What is up, friends, and welcome into Hell Week, a football tradition like you would do if you were playing high school football, your Hell Week. We're not going to make you run Oklahoma's, but it's hell for us because it is an every episode day for you, but maybe it's good for you guys if you like listening. Episode today, episode tomorrow, episode the next day, you get it. All dedicated to our ranks, and we are going to be kicking off Hell Week with our quarterback ranks. That's right, Bogman and myself, we are going to be pairing against each other, looking at ECR, talking about the strategy, some of our favorites, where we have them, and even some of the more later quarterbacks that you can make bets on. And we'll continue to keep doing this all week. Mr. Bogman, how ready are you for Hell Week?
I'm so ready for Hell Week. I'm ready to go. We have camps opening up. It's been a lot of fun to see, a little scary with some of the injury stuff that's happened already.
I mean, like, speaking of quarterbacks, the Joe Burrow thing was scary. Like, that was
Yeah, I mean, it looked bad. And you know, we're still not 100% how bad it is, but it doesn't seem like it's going to be anything major.
Yeah, so I think he gave Jamar Chase like the head nod. Apparently they're big head nod guys. And he gave a little head nod like, we're good. But like, that was absolutely terrifying, especially because I was telling you off air a couple of days ago. I'm like, I kind of want to go really in on Joe Burrow this year. Like, I want to keep going in on Joe Burrow. I think actually you might have me beat though on this. But that would have been a devastating blow to the top-end quarterback market. But we're okay for now. But we got to keep on our toes. We got to be, training camps
keep
are going,
on,
players are getting
on.
Hit. That's right. And, you know, quarterback, the thing I'll kind of preface to say here, I actually just did, Bogman and I do a bunch of stuff on Fantasy Pros, and they have a new platform. It's Via Volume, which is Colin Cowherd's network. And there's an Amazon app called AMP. And we do some shows on there sometimes. And I did one with Derek Brown at Fantasy Pros. And we were talking about like the, you know, five biggest tips. And one of those tips, Boggs, that I threw out was that the late last round quarterback era is kind of over. It's not necessarily that you can't do it, but
I just did it in the last mock.
But I'm saying 4 or 5 years ago, everybody's advice on quarterbacks was you just take wait till last round. You wait till the last couple of rounds. You take a quarterback. That's how you win. That's gone because the values have changed. Because the top end quarterbacks, people are now
retired.
Accepting quarterbacks going in the third round, the fourth round. Not just accepting, but suggesting it fourth, fifth, and not even the number one quarterback. Just in another show with Andrew Erickson, and he was like, you know what? Ideal from the fourth spot. If I had the fourth pick in a draft,
his fifth round pick was Justin Fields. That's not even one of the top, you know, three or four quarterbacks. So my whole point to this is like, we're not in a land of you just wait and get whoever the hell you can at the end. The top end quarterbacks have been separating themselves. And I think people want to stop screwing around so much that it's more important than it's ever been to talk about quarterbacks and how devastating it would have been if we lost Burrow, because that would have been one of those top guys that was off of that list.
Yeah, Fitz and I did a hot takes the other day, and this is for Dynasty, but I still think it holds true for redraft as well. I think quarterback, at least quarterbacks that you can depend on for those big games week in and week out, it's thin. I have eight guys at the top, so we're going to go over the top 12, but the bottom four in my QB1s, I don't really trust them as much as I trust those top eight guys that are up there. So it's clearly an eight tier, and if you're gonna wait past that, then you can do the last round strategy. But if you're doing that, you have to do like I did in the last mock, where you're taking two and you're playing matchups, you know.
Yeah,
it's not a plug and play, I'm playing this guy no matter what at all anymore.
I feel like there's bigger separators. Like, it's like my top five is a very specific, like, give me these guys. Then there's another bank of like three that I find comfortable. And then, like you were saying, then it's like the bottom four, the gap between that and those top five is pretty different. And then it just kind of keeps getting bigger. So, you know, again, you can build however strategy you end up wanting to, but it is more widely accepted than it's ever been before to invest in quarterbacks early, especially there's a lot more running quarterbacks on the market, big touchdown play guys as well. And, you know, in the top five, pending how people value, you're going to have upwards of three to four being very heavy run quarterbacks. So you get those extra stats. So we're going to be talking about all those. We're going to talk about some of our post 24 quarterbacks. We're going to build up to one, talk about some of our favorites, even a little bit of super flex conversation. So hopefully you guys are dug in. If you would like to get access to the ranks, go to InThisLeague.com. Sign up today over at InThisLeague.com. That takes you to our Patreon. We will have today, as you're listening to this, is July 1st if you're listening live. August represents a new month when we have some new stuff, and we will have our ranks up this week. So you will be able to access not just Bogman's, but mine. But Bogman also has Superflex and Dynasty and IDP, literally everything you could have for any of your league formats. We've also got GroupMe rooms where people are rocking and setting up leagues. They're filling leagues, starting new leagues. You have access to us. They're talking fantasy football. It's a great experience if you want to upgrade your fantasy football experience. So go and check it out today. And you are supporting us, which we appreciate very, very much. Fellas, it's Hell Week time. Let's get right into it. We're breaking down our quarterbacks, and we are doing it right after this.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door, and after that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more?
Let me tell you something about
In This League.
Quarterback ranks, who did not make the top 24? This is essentially quarterbacks that are seen as QB3s in Superflex, even deep league potential backups. So let me throw this at you. When you look at your list, who piques your interest the most? I see one name actually I have higher.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Chris Welsh
said you were coming.
What else did he say?
He said you were the best in the parsec.
Scott Bogman,
former Imperial sharpshooter.
That's not saying much.
I wasn't a stormtrooper, wise ass.
Please excuse his lack of decorum.
In This League.
This is the way. Stop touching things.
There's a couple others in doing shows I've seen, but you're talking about your post 24 quarterbacks. If you're in a super flex, who are the guys that you're banking on? Maybe it is just 25 and 26 or whatever, but who are kind of your favorite targets?
No, I mean, look, I have Kyler at 25. I just, for me, I'm not interested in drafting Kyler this year in any scenario, really. And I know that maybe in super flex, people have been wanting to try and take a shot on him to see when he's going to come back, but I think the Cardinals are one of the worst teams in the NFL this year, and their defense is horrible. He's coming off a knee injury, and a lot of his value comes from running. How much are they going to have him run? Offensive line is bad. Like, I feel like if they start 0-6 or 0-7, like something bad, he's not coming back this year. What is the point of playing him behind a bad offensive line when he's trying to recover from ACL surgery?
What about maybe that whole, like, where he was like, he's like, oh, no, I might be good for week one. Like, he was trying
he's
to
not.
Build that.
I'll bet anything. He's not going to be ready for week one. So, and even if he was ready, why would the Cardinals want to put him out there and risk him? You know, because Gannon's a weirdo? I don't think
so.
Well,
I think the reason you would want it is to prove the naysayers that this team can compete in this division. But the problem is once they go 0-3, and if he is only 80% of who he was before, they have to look at themselves and be like, can we keep putting this guy out there? And maybe you shelve him and stuff like that. But either way, it's not worth the risk. I'm with you.
He's a post 24 class coming up, too. Like, if the new management says, yeah, maybe Murray's not our guy. Maybe they don't like him playing Call of Duty. You know what I mean? Maybe they don't like his work ethic and all that stuff.
We like Fortnite guys.
They want to go. Yeah. We like Fortnite guys here. You get the Futurama package. Mm-hmm. You know, if that's the case for the new regime, there's a lot of good QBs coming out in the draft seemingly next year. So, you know, angle yourself towards a Caleb Williams or a Drake May or someone like that, I think would probably be the best move for them. And this offense is going to be different. It's not a Cliff Kingsbury heavy pass offense anymore. It's probably going to be a run the ball with James Conner a ton, try to play good defense and keep the ball away from the other team's offense type of team. And he's not going to run because of knee surgery as much. So there's just too many. It's death by 1,000 cuts, but they're big cuts, more like death by 3 cuts that are huge.
It's just like, I just don't like. I know what the upside is. I just don't see it. There's someone on the best rank as far as the rankers over in Fantasy Pros. We like to just mention them, not even because we work there, just because it's like an aggregate of everybody
we've
who
done
ranks
it since way before we worked.
Yeah, we've done it for 10 years. Someone has him at 15, and it's just like,
okay.
I mean, that's great that you're optimistic, but I'm just really not sure I understand that. The Sam Howell is interesting. I've got him right around ECR. You've actually got him a little bit higher than ECR. I've mentioned that obviously Jake Seeley really is liked him and kind of talked him up. Is there a place where Sam Howell can live a little bit higher in a super flex as a second quarterback, or do you see him as like a prime backup to your top two super flex quarterbacks?
Yeah, he would be a backup for me because I don't know how trustable he is. And if he struggles quick, I mean, they went out and got Jacoby Brissett, and we've seen Brissett play for 3 years, 4 years in a row or whatever it is. And we don't consider him a starting quarterback, but he started a lot of games. So if Howell comes out and looks bad and the team starts out 0 for however many, I could see a quick transition to Brissett. So I don't want to put him in the position of having to be my number two QB. Unless I also take Brissett, maybe it would work then if I'm really waiting in a super flex, or if I get screwed because I'm on the end in a super flex, or I've run out of money in an auction or something. That's the case where I take Howell. But you were asking me before, like, who are the guys that you like in this? I have three for upside. Howell's one of those guys because he runs very, very well. And to me, he's like a right-handed Tebow. I think he doesn't run as hard or as well as Tebow, but he's probably a better passer. Which
yeah,
is
I
want to
ask you something
be.
On this real quick.
But that's kind of how I feel on how.
And before we get to the other quarterbacks, what do you think? I have PFF up here. Mm-hmm. What do you think PFF's, or you know, you can just give the basic. What do you think the projection, if you were to put a projection on Sam Howell this year? Give me yards, touchdowns, picks, rushing yards, and rushing touchdowns.
All right, I'll go with 3,000 yards, 17 touchdowns, 10 picks, 400 rushing yards, and 5 rushing touchdowns.
Okay. You actually are pretty close across the board. PFS projections, 3,300 passing yards, 17.9 touchdowns, 14 picks, so more picks, 477 rushing yards, 3.5 touchdowns. What do you think that projects out as far as points go at the quarterback position? According to PFF.
22.
16.
Okay.
See, you want to hear a couple.
Like, 16 is in the realm of possibilities. It's not
guess who he's above.
Crazy.
Guess who he's above.
But hold on, real quick, because I want to point this out. The highest ECR, the highest rank on Howell from anyone on Fantasy Pros is 16. That's the highest.
Well, here are a couple of players that he projects more points than. Matthew Stafford.
All right.
Derek Carr. Tua Tagovailoa. And Deshaun
Watson. I can paint scenarios for all these guys. Not that surprising, but
I'm just telling you that that is where the projection market is on how he's got a couple great
the
options.
Only way he outscores Tua is if Tua gets hurt. That's it.
Yeah, well, they're not projecting
how many games they have for Tua.
17. Everybody has 17 games.
Yeah,
everybody has 17 games. But it's the rushing upside. I think it's the rushing upside for how that changes the game. Because as far as touchdowns go, he's projected top 10 of most rushing touchdowns, at least on PFF, for quarterbacks. And for yards, he is number 7 in rushing yards at quarterback position. So you've got the passing with two great receiving options. You got a good running back core. And then you throw on that not only can he be a 300-yard passer, 3,000-yard passer, it's the rushing yards, which he is 22 yards projected less than Anthony Richardson running this year. So just pointing out, Sam Howell, kind of interesting. The other one for me, by the way,
is huge. It's big. But
the other one for me is for yours is actually higher. But what was your other guy? Because you said Sam Howell was one.
For me, it would be I have Stroud and Ritter in here. Those are the other two guys, and it's like guys that we haven't seen because I'm not interested in Jimmy G or Mac Jones or Tannehill or Baker. Any of those guys don't interest me at all. Stroud has me intrigued. Obviously, a rookie going to Houston, probably going to be a run first team with Damian Pierce and Devin Singletary. Right, wide receivers are still kind of in question as who's going to be number one. In the pecking order and everything, is Nico Collins one? Is John Metchie one? Is Robert Woods one? We don't know. They brought in Dalton Schultz. He might be the guy to lead that team in targets as well. So just questionable. He doesn't run that much. He can. We saw him do it against Georgia in the playoff, especially manipulating the pocket. He's mobile, but he doesn't really take off that much. So I'd like to see a little bit more of that from him. And then Desmond Ridder is a guy that will take off. But I don't know if he has the passing chops to make in the NFL. And what we saw last year was okay. You know, I'm excited to see him because he has a full off season. He is going to be the guy going in, but they went and got Taylor Heinicke. It's kind of the same situation as Sam Howell, right? Where if you don't start out well, you're not coming out swinging. They will go to another guy that has experience. So these guys scare me a little bit. Even CJ Stroud, because Davis Mills is right behind him. If they thrust him in too fast and he's just not ready, you know, he could be riding the pine very, very quick. So I could see all that, all those scenarios for those guys.
I do think the number one quarterback who is post 24 is Sam Howell. I really do. I think, like, looking at this, if you want to talk about upside, that's the number one. There are Desmond Ridder might be number two, even though he's an ECR 31. There's a couple of guys you talked about. You probably don't want to talk about Baker Mayfield might also kind of be on that list. If he
pass a lot, Tampa Bay passes a lot.
If he is going to be the starter and you've got Godwin and Evans and the way they're going to pass good Rashad targets. White out of the backfield, Baker Mayfield, that could be another cheap option. There are two
That's
guys.
That's why I have Trask inside my top 36.
Just in case. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's the same deal. They're probably going to be down. They're probably going to be passing a lot late. Garbage time counts. So I don't hate Trask.
There are two guys that have an ECR outside of the top 24. I have one of them in, one of them out. You have one of them in, one of them out. We will talk about that as we break down our top 24. Let's go 24 to 13. Bogman, let's start with you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, buckaroo. All night.
I have gotten, I have a couple adjustments I'm going to have to look in here because actually one of the guys I thought I was looking at my list, he will be near my top 24 like you do, and it's one of the guys I want to talk about. I got Bryce Young at 24, Jimmy Garoppolo at 23, Jordan Love at 22, Matthew Stafford at 21, followed by Derek Carr, Kenny Pickett at 19, Jared Goff at 18, Russell Wilson at 17, followed by Anthony Richardson at 16, Watson at 15, Geno at 14, Aaron Rodgers at 13. Jimmy Garoppolo and Brock Purdy were the two I were talking about. Both have ECRs outside of the top 24, yet both are very intriguing options. Brock Purdy being cleared to throw is huge.
Huge.
So maybe you could argue, like, who has better offensive options than Brock Purdy between Kittle, like the full package? Because, like, obviously you could say, like, the Bengals have better receivers. Like,
offensive line is terrible.
But you got offensive line decent for the 49ers. You got a top end tight end, the best running back in the NFL. You have one of the best route running wide receivers in the NFL. And then one of the best after the catch wide receivers in the NFL. I don't know if anyone has better offensive options. Plus Brock Purdy is an accuracy first quarterback. So,
I mean, let me ask you this. If you take Kirk Cousins, right, and drop him into San Francisco, how is he not a QB1?
He is. He's a top 10 quarterback. I mean, then you have more big play.
And that's why I got Brock Purdy in my top 24. It's not because I love Brock Purdy in the skill. He's fine. He's definitely better than I thought he was coming in the NFL, right? And I felt like I was respecting him more than a lot of people did because I watched him at Iowa State, carve up my Longhorns a couple times. So I know he's a pretty decent QB. I just, the arm strength is questionable.
This is just not a roster that you need big arm strength. I know you want big plays.
You don't need them.
Kittle and Debo are two of the most explosive after the catch players in the NFL. Ayuk is a great route runner that doesn't need to go deep. Unfortunately for the 49ers, they don't have insane deep play, but you have maybe three of the top 10 best players after the catch on your roster between McCaffrey, Kittle, and Debo Samuel.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Purdy is surrounded by weapons. So he's a safe QB2 option for me. I'm not like, if I draft Purdy, I'm not like, yes, I got Purdy. I'm like, all right, I got Purdy. He's got weapons. This should work. Maybe I also draft Trey Lance just in case.
You know what I mean?
Sam Darnold's still getting talked up by Shanahan a bunch. So, this guy is fine. He's not a target for me, but he does have to be a QB2 now that he's completely healthy. And I think for you, you probably just swap out Purdy and Jimmy G in your rankings.
Right? Well, Bryce Young, he's going to be 24. Purdy on the update you guys will see will be at minimum 24 for me because he is in there. But so Garoppolo is the same thing. Obviously, more surgery stuff is a concern, but you go and you look and you go, Jimmy Garoppolo is in a not great way where Brock Purdy can go. They're very similar quarterbacks. Garoppolo can be one of the most accurate quarterbacks ever, and then he'll make literally the dumbest decision that you've ever seen a quarterback do, and that's what's so frustrating about him. But that also works really well for Davante Adams and an offense that's got Josh Jacobs and Davante Adams. So if he's there, he's healthy, the team is going to want to sling the ball.
And he cleared. He passed his physical. So they can't. That, like, that cutting him before the season starts nonsense is off the table. So
that's why when money. I look at this, you don't have him in the top 24. ECR in him is 29. I just think Jimmy Garoppolo lives in this world. I think it's pretty standard for him to live in this world because there's upside from a super flex standpoint. No way in hell do I want him as a starting quarterback. So do you think you can get him there, or is it just the boringness of him in general keeps you away?
It's not even the boringness of him. It's the fact that the line in Vegas is not what it is in San Francisco. So he has good weapons. Like, he could have ended up in way worse spots, right? So I think going to Vegas where you have Devontae and they signed Jacoby Myers, you get a healthy Hunter Renfrow back. Like, you know, they invested in a good tight end in Michael Mayer. They have a high volume RB in Josh Jacobs. Like, there's worse places for him to have ended up. But that line is not even close to what San Francisco was. So I'm a little concerned if, and he has had injury issues in the past. I'm afraid of him getting hurt pretty quick there.
It makes sense. So there's a lot of quarterbacks in here that we can play around with. I want to talk about Kenny Pickett, though. Sure. Kenny Pickett, we both have at 19. His ECR is 12. Going back and just peeking around.
ECR is not 12.
I'm sorry. What did I say? 22. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's 22. I'm sorry. You got very offended. You're like, it's not 12.
Well, 22. I was like, come on, man. We don't want to be telling anyone he's a QB1.
No. His best is 12. So someone have him ranked as 12. He's 22. We've got him a little bit higher. So coming back again, we pay for PFF tools. So just talking about that, the highest ranked projection quarterback of someone not in our 12 box is Kenny Pickett. on that list, if you can believe it. The highest point. So I'm talking their top 10 quarterbacks. What's that?
Do you think it's Raju?
Oh, you got it. It's got to be Raju. 100%.
No, I think it's somebody. I bet it's Ringo.
Okay, well, you look.
Ringo, who hated
the
us,
10 so. Quarterbacks projected for the highest points as far as PFF goes are in our top 10. Number 11 on their list is Kenny Pickett, who we are talking about post there, and we have him at 19. What do you think the projections for Pickett look
by
like
the way,
in your brain?
Whoever it is updated it. The highest now is 17.
So okay, so they
that
fixed
changed
their...
in a night. I did the 8 hours, dude. I did this at about 3 a.m. yesterday. So within whatever this set that is, 11 hours, someone went from 12 to 17 on Kenny Pickett here. So
wow.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
What was the question?
So give me what you think. I've already told you what his points are projected. He is projected higher than Aaron Rodgers, Trevor Lawrence, Russell Wilson, according to PFF, if you want to believe that. What is your just off your top of your brain Kenny Pickett projection for this year as a Steelers fan?
3,500 yards, 400 rushing yards. I'm going to say 22 touchdowns, 15 picks, and like 3 rushing touchdowns.
I mean, you're off on a little things, but you almost nailed all the touchdowns picks. 3,700 passing yards.
Okay, so more than I said.
23 touchdowns.
More than I said.
16 picks.
More than I said.
Well, but I'm saying you're in the range.
Yeah.
This is your worst one. 290 on the rushing yards.
He's going to run for more than 290.
And 2.5 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah. They're going to let him run a little more, I think. So.
But that equated to 11 in total points. So.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to have that many passing yards or touchdowns. That's the thing for me is like, you know, I obviously think Kenny is going to take a step up, right? He's not going to have 7 touchdowns and 9 picks again. Matt Canada has to unleash him a little bit and let him call, do checks and audibles at the line and just things that he's not doing, right? So I think he's going to have a little more freedom. There are good weapons in this offense. You still have Deontay. You have Pickens, Pat Freiermuth. They added Darnell Washington, and we know Najee can catch the ball out of the backfield. So, like, there's good targets, and they spent so much money on this O-line, and he comes in for a full training camp of being the QB1. Like, so he's definitely going to – he should take a big jump from last year. How big is it? No way he's going to be a QB1, I don't think. I hope he's QB1 overall. I hope he's the MVP.
Yeah, it's an
best ever.
It's an interesting bet, though.
I don't think it's going to happen.
It's an interesting bet. I actually love Kenny Pickett as the second Superflex quarterback.
All right. I like that.
Yeah, well, as a second Superflex quarterback, if I went in and drafted, you know, let's say I got Burrow. You know, I got Burrow in the first, and maybe I can get one of those top flight running backs in the second. We know the next tier quarterbacks are going to start going. If you can get Pickett in the third or fourth round in a Superflex, which is usually the price you're probably going to pay for that range, I actually think you're doing well. Maybe you get him in the fourth, and that allows you to get a top flight wide receiver, top flight quarterback, or top flight running back to go with Burrow. And then in the fourth, you get Kenny Pickett. I mean, I don't have it in front of me. I'm curious, where did Pickett go in our previous Superflex? Do you recall at all?
I don't. I know he went too high. I remember someone taking him, and because it was next to me, I feel like.
Okay.
And, you know, it was high. I'll go back and look while we're talking here.
Yeah, no, I mean, you don't even have to do that because I want to talk about some of these other guys. Let's hear your take on Russell Wilson. I want to talk about a couple more guys in this tier, but Russell Wilson, I feel like that's one that we want to kind of build back up a little bit. You know, they've got their option. Devontae coming back is fantastic. Where are you at in the Russell Wilson, you know, movement for this year?
By the way, you took Pickett at the top of the seventh in our last Superflex mock. That was you.
Oh, that was me. I took, and it was in the seventh. Awesome.
It was in the seventh.
Even better, baby. Let's go.
So, Russell Wilson. Okay. Look, I think the coaching staff was a lot of the problem last year. And obviously, Sean Payton agrees with me from his most recent comments that he had. He had to come out today and apologize and all that. That's
kind
of funny. But I don't think he's as bad as he was last year. And he has good weapons here. And it's going to be a better offensive system. Javante cleared the pup. He's back healthy, right? So the thing for me is can Russell Wilson still play behind a below average offensive line? That's the big question, right? And I think we're going to see a better version of Russ this year than we saw last year. Do I think that's a good version? I don't know. Maybe. Maybe it's a good version. So I don't want to pay for maybe. I would rather pay for upside. So I'd rather have Pickett, you know. So I don't know. I'm lukewarm on Russell this year.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Okay, so this
actually,
one
here, I have Pickett one spot below. I got to move that. I'll move him one spot ahead of Russ because I think I rather would have Pickett.
So there are a couple quarterbacks in this range I was just staring at, and it's like I want to get them higher. Pickett was one of those. I kind of wanted to go in the Russell train. The number one is Anthony Richardson.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playmcd.com for full details and amoe.playmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Richardson.
Yeah.
And it's
first
very funny.
Day one, by the way.
And you love to hear that. The funny thing about it is I have continuously been on here reminding everybody that Anthony Richardson never goes post QB12 in any draft we do. Yet, we can't get him there.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says
in this league.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In this league. Oh.
And his ECR is lower than we have him. So his ECR is 18. Highest is 8, by the way. Lowest is 36, LOL. I have him at 16. You have him at 15. I cannot fully wrap my head around Deshaun Watson this year. And, you know, there's definitely a point where you just say, screw it. Who cares? I'm out. I think I'm getting to that point. Even though there's Cooper, I love that they added new weapons and Njoku has stepped up. I just don't see the insane, even though we know who he was before, projections aren't very favorable to him. I have him, I have him one spot above Richardson. I have him at 15, but you have him at 13. I think I might make the move just to commit that I'm just not interested in Watson. I'd rather go with that rushing upside with Richardson this year. But talk to
me.
You've got Watson at 13.
If you move Watson down one more spot, you are tied for the low rank on Watson, by the way.
I think it might happen. I think that
and
might be.
And that's fine. One of my other hot takes with Pat was I'm not touching Deshaun Watson. And I'm not touching him in redraft or in dynasty. I don't want him. And the reason is I rank him here because, look, there is a lot of skill. This is a former like MVP caliber player, right? But how much of what he did last year was rust? And how much was it, you know, maybe he's just not as good as he was in Houston anymore. You know, that is the dance that you have to do. And I don't see the Browns, the way they're built, going into a, hey, let's pass the ball 50 times a game offense at any point, unless they're down and losing a lot. Like, I just don't, and their defense is pretty solid. I don't think that's going to be the Browns' identity. I think the Browns' identity is still run first and run second with Nick Chubb. So maybe Deshaun Watson starts doing RPOs like Danny Dimes with Saquon. Maybe he gets a little bit of juice from the legs this year. Maybe that comes back. They added Elijah Moore. Maybe Elijah Moore's way better than we think, and him and Amari Cooper are making a good, you know, run of it here and really turns this into a high-powered offense that is within the realm of possibility, which is why I can't put Watson much lower than where I have him. But I can tell you, personally, I don't want to draft him.
Let me ask you this. On him.
Okay.
Who has bigger upside in your mind, Watson or Anthony Richardson?
I think I have to say Watson because I've seen him do it before.
Okay. So I would say
it's razor thin.
And I think that's you can argue into that maybe that is or isn't the case. The floor. Who is a better floor? Is it Watson or is it Richardson?
It's definitely Watson.
Okay, definitely Watson.
100% Watson. Not so even, those, I don't think that's arguable.
So I think in, then that in terms can of be your case.
Because Gardner Minshew could be starting for this team if Richardson just cannot complete passes. You know what I mean? That's the big thing.
He's Malik Willis.
Yeah. Seriously, Richardson was terrible at completing passes at Florida. Now, he had a ton of drops. Like the receiving corps was not great for him. It's much better in Indy, obviously, NFL caliber players. I don't think I'm breaking news there. But the floor is Richardson is not ready. He gets benched, and we have to wait until next year on him, right? That is the floor. You could say Watson has a worse floor if more things crop up and he gets immediately suspended for them. Like, I guess you could write that in, but just in terms of on-field production, there's no way his floor is lower than Richardson's. Just,
here's the last one, and this is one you and I have off-air. Bogman hates Geno Smith. Hopes Geno Smith falls into a sinkhole, no, thinks he's garbage, doesn't believe anything. I think Geno Smith, I actually have him at value, but I think he could be, if you don't pay premium in a super flex, Geno Smith could be a top tier RPV, top value for the second quarterback you have in super flex. And we just had a bunch of disagreements on it. And it came down to this. It came down to last year in, has he changed as a quarterback, and what he did last year's weapons take him forward? Or do you believe the longstanding track record of who he was? And that's what you and I were battling, because I quizzed you, and I was like, let's find this out.
Yeah.
How many games did he have? You were making your rankings. Yeah. And I was like, how many games did he not complete 20 passes? And we found out only three, I think, or four. I think he had 13 games where he had 20 or more completions in a game. And my argument to you was he added a huge offensive weapon in the wide receiver core. He has Lockett still. He has Metcalf, and they added JSN. And then the running back, Ken Walker, they added another offensive piece in Charbonnet to help that whole core. So he lost nothing, and he was insanely accurate last year. So how in the red zone, by the way, he was one of the most prolific ball into the red zone quarterbacks. He was on par with Josh Allen as far as throws into the red zone and touchdowns that were thrown into the red zone from inside the red zone. It was like him and Josh Allen were like one for one, like 45 throws in on the back end of the red zone and the end zone, and the touchdowns were at 19. Like he was insane, and he has more weapons this year. But you kind of kept coming back to, he's been Geno Smith the other version every other year of his career except for this last year.
Yeah, it's the believability of what he did last year. And last year was a great run, and he's definitely a better quarterback now than he ever has been. I'm not trying to say that he's going to all of a sudden revert to be the loser that we saw, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. And I saw the flashes of it. Trust me, West Virginia came into Austin the first year they were in the Big 12 and whooped our ass with Geno Smith. Like, I thought that guy was a Heisman finalist watching him there. So the dude, he's a good QB, and I'm not trying to take anything away from him here. My thing is believability in what he did last year, and knowing that whatever works is what Pete Carroll's doing. Last year, passing the ball was working. That's what they were doing. They added JSN. JSN's a great ad. It's hard. He made a couple highlight reel catches in camp and stuff, and people are getting super excited about him. He's a great player. But it's the believability, the repeatability, and the fact that they also added Charbonnet. And, you know, Walker missed time last year. They're kind of trying to piece this run game together, and it wasn't really working for them. I think they're going to run the ball a lot. And, you know, if Geno struggles on the outset, you know, they're going to run the ball a ton. Like, Carroll has no fear of turning this into a run-first team. And with Walker and Charbonnet there, they can do it. So they really, the great thing for everybody in Seattle is that they have options and they have weapons now. Offensive line still questionable, but it's better. And, you know, Geno could be good. I do have to admit that. I have a hard time buying into it after what I saw for years and years from Geno, that the repeatability. That's my question with him. And I'm usually show me that you can do it, and then I'll believe you. And he showed me. But I also have 9 other seasons of him being garbage, or however many it is. for him, and I feel like I'll fall back on those more.
So here are the exact, because I was a little stumbly on it. So this is PFF's end zone passing. Geno Smith and Josh Allen were tied for the most passes in the end zone at 45 in the NFL. They were also tied for the most end zone passing touchdowns at 19, tied. Josh Allen threw 5 picks end zone passing. Geno Smith, 0. They both had a 3.1, one was 4.3 touchdown percentage for end zone passing, which was the best. And they had tied 7.9 of the best end zone touchdown percentage. Also, when you want to talk about adjusted completion percentage, which I think is an interesting stat, Geno Smith had the 5th best 77.8 adjusted PFF completion percentage in the NFL. Better than Patrick Mahomes, better than Trevor Lawrence. So I come back to this argument. You say they have a lot more weapons, they might run. Well, a lot of what Geno Smith did as well was in the red zone and what he was able to do with the end zone with more
30
weapons.
30 touchdowns last year. Is that repeatable? You think he's going to throw 30 again?
I absolutely think it's repeatable.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't.
I mean, if I you believe that they are going to be, if you think the offense is going to take a huge step back and you think they're going to score less, okay. But are those touchdowns going to move into Kenneth Walker and Charbonnet? Like,
well, they're fluky. That's the thing to me, is that they're fluky. They passed last year because that's really all they had, right? Walker was a rookie. Walker's a smaller back, too. That's why you go and get a hulking big back like Charbonnet, is to use him in those power situations. So it's the 30 touchdowns. Homie had 34 touchdowns in 8 seasons before last year, and then 30 last year. So, I mean, maybe the flip had the maybe it's switched. Maybe,
I mean, when you have Lockett, Metcalf, I mean, that does change the game up a little
bit. Yeah. You're right. Like, but I think both of our arguments are right here. Like, he did it. He threw 30 touchdowns last year, and he's in this offense for a second year, and we're going to see what he has, see if he can do it again. But also, I have the track record of the 8 previous seasons where it was awful. Yeah. So
I get it. I think the floor is incredibly high for a guy like Geno Smith, and that's why I like him in that super flex range. Okay. Top 12. Starting at number 12, I have got Daniel Jones, who, by the way, has the number one adjusted completion percentage in the NFL from last year. 81%, only 80 guy. Tua Tagovailoa at 11. His ECR is 11. I want him higher. Kirk Cousins at 10. Justin Herbert at 9. I'm lower. Dak Prescott at 8. Trevor Lawrence at 7. Justin Fields at 6. Followed by Lamar Jackson at 5. Joe Burrow at 4. And then Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. That is my top 12.
For me, I got Tua at 12. Then I go Kirk Cousins, Dak Prescott, Daniel Jones at 9. I got Justin Herbert at 8. And remember, I mentioned my top 8 here. Herbert, Lawrence, Fields, Burrow, Jackson, Hurts, Allen, Mahomes, same top 3 as
Let's talk about Daniel Jones. You are the Daniel Jones guy this year. That is going to be your thing. I believe the highest you are. You are the highest. Thousands. I thought it was 8, but nope, 9 is the highest. That is where you have him. The rushing stats, pretty damn impressive from last year. Like I told you, the adjusted completion percentage from last year, actually the number one player in the NFL. Talk to me about your buy-in of Daniel Jones here, because, I mean, he seems like a prime target for you if you miss out on the top core. And he also seems like maybe your number one, quote, use our friend Joe PCP as RPV-based second quarterback in a super flex. If you can get a guy like Daniel Jones, you're winning. Number 9. That's big.
Yeah, I mean, I think, looking at this, I don't know why they're not counting him. Maybe they're old rankings, but there's a couple people at 8 and one person at 6 on him. I don't know why they're not counting them in the normal rankings here, because, yeah, I still see his best at the top rank as number 9. But anyway, if 9 is the highest, then I am top guy. I'm the number one ranker on Daniel Jones. And it's honestly, it's the rushing. 700 yards is a huge marker to hit in rushing yards. And I don't have the numbers in front of me. I know I've looked it up a couple times, but it was like last year, they're like 5 QBs with 700 rushing yards or something like that. And then it was like 3. And it's all guys that, you know, it's no one surprising that has rushed for 700 yards at all outside of Daniel Jones. Last year was a little bit of a shock, but it's
There's four others that ran for 700 more yards
last year. So last year was a fluke year too, where five guys did it. There have been since like 2017, there have been a couple years where nobody did it. And Lamar is obviously does it every single year. Justin Fields is over 1,000 yards last year. Richardson has that potential this year. So there's guys like within that realm, but it's the rushing upside, really the rushing floor, because he ran for 700 last year. Even if they want to ratchet that back after paying him, he's going to get 500. I think that's like the floor for him. And you add Darren Waller, you add Paris Campbell, you go and draft Jalen Hyatt. Like, these aren't big names. I would like for them to have added someone else, like a clear number one, or drafted a clear number one. We don't have that yet, which is going to hurt that adjusted completion percentage. And how many wide open touchdowns did Darius Slayton drop that you saw last year, Welsh? Like, at least three, right?
Yeah, I mean, at least.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
No one asked you anything ever, so whomever's name is
In This League,
why don't you take a letter opener and stick it in your skull?
Hey. I think instead of just being like, oh, this was their offense last year, I think they might have answered some of the problems that they had, which could also change his value a little bit. But in my mind, both work positively and negatively against. So I've just settled in to him at three. Getting Jalen Hurts is phenomenal. 22 passing touchdowns, 13 rushing touchdowns, 760 rushing yards, almost got the 4,000 yard marker, has great offensive weapons, better offensive weapons in the second and the backfield, great still secondary weapons. He's awesome. I think he's in the same tier as Allen and Mahomes, but at the end of the day, you know, 5,000 passing yards, 40 touchdowns for Mahomes with some rushing upside, I'll take that all day, every day. And Josh Allen is, he's kind of the mix between those two. He's the mix between Mahomes and Hurts, where, you know, he passes a bit more, has more passing touchdowns, just less rushing touchdowns, but the same rushing upside.
And I mean, that whole offense is designed for Allen too. Like, they don't have a go-to running back. They have a number one wide receiver, and it's all Josh Allen.
Yeah. So that's how we sit it out there. Those are what our quarterback ranks look like, which you can find over at InThisLeague.com if you want to check them all out. That's the Patreon. We will have them all posted. The beginning of August is where they'll get posted. So if you're listening to this early on, they'll be up in a day or two. But you can already see Bogman's initial positional ranks for PPR, Dynasty, Superflex, all that stuff. You can get those and you can come and hang out with us. Coming up tomorrow, the running backs. This is the running back episode. We'll be breaking it all down. We'll be using kind of half PPR format in how we're ranking them. We're breaking all these bad boys down on Hell Week. If you guys have enjoyed the podcast or you're new to it or whatever, make sure you subscribe to it wherever you listen on the pod so you're notified. That helps us. Download it for a gajillion times. That helps us. You can also find us on the Twitters at Is It The Welsh Bogman Sports. And if you follow there, you'll know just all the other stuff we're doing. You know, like, I got some football stuff on Fantasy Pros. Bogman's got a ton more. We're doing stuff in other places. I can also be heard on the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast with Jake Seeley and Brandon Funston. So follow us on the Twitter to find out all the other things. And we appreciate you guys hanging out with us. That is it. More Hell Week coming up tomorrow. Thank you guys for hanging out. For running backs tomorrow, that's Bogman. I'm Welsh. Peace for now, friends.
For you.